When he came in, the two of you were being very secretive. Did he find something?
Not exactly.
What does that mean? When Harper looked away, Danny noticed her hesitation. What is it?
A rape. Harper met her gaze. There was a doll left at the scene. A doll with a red wig.
Danny's eyes widened. Oh, my God, she whispered. A rape? This is all my fault.
It's not your fault, Danny. You don't control his actions.
But I came here. I brought him here. Now some poor woman...
It's my fault, if anything, Harper said. I tried to draw him out. He knew it. I think this is his way of letting us know.
But someone was raped.
Danny, it's not your fault. She stood up.
Then whose is it? And don't try to pacify me by saying it's yours.
Harper stood up, too. You're overreacting.
A woman was raped, for God's sake, by my goddamn stalker.
Harper held her hands out in defeat. Okay, take the blame. It doesn't change anything. He's still out there.
Danny let her shoulders sag. How do you take this? Assault, rape, how do you deal with it?
Danny saw the shadow that crossed Harper's face when she looked away. You disconnect, Harper said quietly. If you didn't, you'd go insane. Chapter 15 Harper sat in the chair facing the door, her phone held in her hand. She'd expected Reed to call by now. Surely they'd already interviewed the woman. She glanced over at the sofa, smiling a little as she watched Danny sleep. She was curled into a ball, tucked into one corner, her hands folded under her cheek. She'd told Danny to go on to bed, but she wouldn't hear of it. Harper had found the spare bedroom to be cluttered and the bed unmade, but at least there was a bed. She'd found sheets and a blanket, and Danny had helped as they got the bed ready. There'd been no discussion as to who would sleep where. She knew Danny assumed they would share, and she did too, even though she would offer to take the sofa once they did call it a night. They'd both showered and changed clothes, but she was restless as Danny tried to find something on TV to occupy their time until Reed got home. Danny had left it on a cooking show as she'd settled into the corner of the sofa. It wasn't 10 minutes later that she'd fallen asleep. The similarities between this case and Tucson were eerily familiar, but Harper had no illusions that it was the same guy. In Tucson, the guy left a Raggedy Ann doll at each scene. The Raggedy Ann Killer, as the paper called him. As far as she knew, he'd never stalked anyone, although they assumed he watched his intended victims for several weeks, if not longer. For 2 years, they'd hunted him. To no avail. They'd found a partial print one time, but that had gone nowhere. They'd called in expert after expert, even resorting to a mathematician whiz who wrote an algorithm hoping to find a pattern. Unfortunately, the pattern was... There was no pattern. 8 women, over the course of 2 years, raped and murdered. And the bastard slithered away into the night each time. Even that last time... No, the clown couldn't possibly be the same guy. Could he? A jiggle of the doorknob brought her attention back to the present, and she got up, pulling her gun from its holster. A quick tap. Harper, it's me. She holstered her weapon and unlocked the door quietly, bringing a finger to her lips, indicating to Reed he should be quiet. She pointed to the sofa, where Danny remained asleep. She claims she can sleep through anything, but if we're going to talk, I'd rather it be in private. Reed's gaze landed on her sleeping form. God, she's adorable, he whispered back. Harper motioned to the back. Let's go into your bedroom. Reed grinned. If only it was Danielle Stevens saying that instead of you. If you only knew... she thought with a shake of her head. She left his bedroom door ajar, peeking out once to make sure Danny hadn't woken up. You're a slob, by the way, she said. Oh yeah, I forgot the spare room is kind of messy. I found sheets. She walked farther into the room. What's going on? I thought you were going to call. He shook his head. After we left the hospital, we went back to the scene. Then had to meet with Mize, he said. This late? Yeah, it's the same doll, same wig, he said. But get this, the dude was in clown makeup when he raped her. Not only that, he's calling her Danielle the whole time he's doing it. Jesus, she whispered. Was the woman cooperative? Oh yeah, she did great, considering. He pulled out a notepad from his coat pocket and flipped it open. She got home around 8:30. He was already inside. Grabbed her in her bedroom as she was changing out of her work clothes. He was there maybe 30 minutes. Left her on the bed, put the doll beside her, and walked out. Evidence? Sperm? Yep, they did a workup, but she said the guy wore a condom. Disposed of it in the toilet. Well, that was nice of him, she said dryly. He had duct tape over her mouth, tied her to the bed. Before he left, he untied one hand, so she could get free. That's kinda unusual, isn't it? In this case, no. He wanted her free so she could report it, so we'd know what he did. She paused. So Danny would know what he did. So he's playing with us? That makes no sense. I thought he was just a stalker. What is just a stalker? She asked. Yeah, I know. He put his notepad back, then shoved his hands in his pockets. Mize wants to meet with us in the morning, but from what I gather, he's going to let it be your call. My call on what? On what to do with Danielle Stevens. My call? What? Is he afraid to make a decision? She shook her head. There's not much of a decision anyway. Her stalker has turned into a rapist. He's here now. It's not like we can cut her loose and let her fend for herself. If this was anybody else, we probably would, he said. We don't make a habit of doing protective custody, you know. You complaining? Well, like you said, it won't be my bed she's sharing tonight. You're a pig, Springer. Nah, just teasing. By the looks of it, she'll be sleeping on the sofa tonight anyway. But what about tomorrow? And the day after? How long do you keep this up? As we both know, catching a rapist ain't the easiest thing to do. Is he a rapist? Or is he a stalker just doing the rape to get our attention? It's still Danielle Stevens he's after. Yeah, well, our attempt at luring him didn't work, and you know Mize won't let you put her out on display somewhere as bait. She was only supposed to be here for a week, he said. We both know we're not going to catch him in a damn week. I know. Let's worry about it when the time comes. She rubbed her eyes. It's been a long day, and I didn't sleep for shit last night. You turning in? I got some crown I've been saving for a special occasion. And this is special? You've been to my place like what, twice? How about we save it for when we're celebrating something? I guess. You going to wake her or let her sleep out there? I think wake her. Out in the living room like that, she's kinda exposed. Unless the guy can be in two places at once, I doubt he followed you here. After what's been going on, I don't want to leave anything to chance. Danny felt a hand on her shoulder, nudging her. She was about to panic. Had he found her? But a soothing voice made her relax again. It's me. Time for bed. She opened her eyes, finding Harper squatting down beside the sofa. She blinked several times, then sat up. What time is it? Going on midnight. So my nap turned into a couple of hours, she said around a yawn. Did Detective Springer get back? Yes. Danny could tell by the tone of her voice that she didn't want to talk about it. So she simply nodded and stood up. Are there water bottles in the fridge? I doubt it. How about a glass of water with ice? Thanks. She turned, finding Reed Springer watching her. She smiled at him. Thank you for offering your apartment to us, Detective.
No problem, Miss Stevens.
She was about to correct him, tell him to call her Danny, but... Well, she wasn't sure she wanted to be that friendly with him. Experience told her that men had a hard time differentiating between friendly and something more. She pointed down the short hallway where Harper had disappeared with her water.
I guess then I'll head on to bed. Good night.
He nodded. Good night, and don't worry about a thing. I'm a very light sleeper. Not that, of course, we expect him to know where you are or anything.
Of course. Thank you.
She wasn't really worried, not with Harper sleeping next to her. She stopped off at the bathroom, then went into the spare room. Harper was sitting on the bed, waiting for her. Danny paused at the door.
Should I close it?
Would that make you feel safer? Danny smiled.
Closed, locked, and barricaded.
Harper stood up. How about we just close it? It'll drive Reed nuts.
What?
That I'm in the same bed as you are, behind closed doors. Harper put the lamp on, and Danny turned out the overhead light.
Are you too close?
What do you mean?
Partners. Do you mix your personal lives as well?
I don't have a personal life, and Reed has too much of one. Harper laughed quietly. The last one was a hooker.
A hooker?
He met her at a bar, asked her out on a date. She laughed again.
A real-life date. And she was a hooker. He had no idea. He just thought she was really coming on to him.
What happened? Hell, he slept with her. Cost him $200.
Damn. She must have been good.
Blowjob was extra. Danny wrinkled up her nose.
Gross.
Yeah. Tell me. When Harper looked at her thoughtfully, Danny held up her hand.
I know what you're going to ask, and no, I've never.
Then she tilted her head.
Have you?
God, no. The closest I've been to a penis was pulling a tick off it with tweezers, she said. I was in high school, one of my brother's friends.
She laughed.
God, I haven't thought about that in years.
He let you near his penis with tweezers?
It was either me or Michael, Harper said, as she pulled back the sheet on the bed.
Your brother?
Yeah. You have siblings?
Danny nodded.
An older sister?
16 years older. I was sort of an accident.
Does it matter which side of the bed you sleep on?
No.
Harper took off her jeans and tossed them on the floor. Danny did the same.
Are you close to her?
Danny got under the covers.
My sister? We used to be.
She paused.
I think.
You think?
16 years older, so as close as you can be with that age difference. When I knew that I was gay, well, I withdrew. From her, from my parents. We never discussed anything personal anyway. At all. That's how things were in our family. We didn't talk about things, ever.
And when this all happened, she said, referring to her acting career, our divide got even deeper. She rolled over to her side, facing Harper.
It was mostly my fault. I never knew it would morph into all of this. I thought, after the first movie, that my acting would be so bad it would be a short-lived career. My family, they didn't understand any of it. I think they assumed I was sleeping my way to the top.
She tried to smile, but it never materialized.
I don't have any friends, she said sadly. I didn't know who to trust anymore.
What about from your work, the real estate place?
It's a cutthroat business. The women were jealous of me and the men, well, the men just wanted to sleep with me, she said bluntly.
So you not only withdrew from your family, but from everyone, Harper stated.
Yes.
Hell of a way to live, she murmured, almost to herself.
Danny nodded.
Like I said, I don't make a very good celebrity.
So why even do this last movie? Why not walk away now?
I wish I could, but I don't like to back out of things I've committed to.
She rolled back over and stared at the ceiling.
This role is not glamorous,
Frankly, I'm surprised they wanted me for it. It's hardcore drama, nothing I've done before. When I read for it, I didn't think it went particularly well, but they wanted me.
She turned her head toward Harper.
I play a stressed-out cop who drinks too much. She's having an affair with a defense attorney, married guy, who ends up defending a guy she arrested for murder. Her partner's in love with her. She's in love with her bottle of bourbon. She sighed. And it has a tragic ending.
The cop dies?
Yes.
And you're hoping Danielle Stevens dies as well?
Danny nodded and closed her eyes with a sigh. She felt Harper move, heard the click, sensed the room darkening from the lamp being turned off. She kept her eyes closed. She was safe. Harper Jeremiah, a cop she'd met only yesterday, was keeping her safe. Harper settled back down again, and Danny knew if she moved a foot or more, she'd be touching her. In the darkness, her lips turned up in a smile. She knew Harper would be like this. From the moment she saw her photo, looked into the dark eyes as they stared back at her. She knew Harper Jeremiah was the one who would protect her.
Are you going to tell me about the rape? About what Detective Springer found?
She murmured quietly, her eyes still closed. She could tell Harper was hesitating, could almost see the indecision in her eyes. Then a quiet sigh and the rustling of covers.
We'll talk tomorrow. Okay.
But it was him? For sure?
Yeah. It was him.
Of course it was. Okay. We'll talk tomorrow. She finally opened her eyes, turning toward Harper.
Good night,
she whispered.
Good night, Danny.
Chapter 16. Harper stared in disbelief at the doll, the dull, drab eyes seeming to stare right back at her. How in the hell had he found them? She looked past the doll, out to the parking lot, expecting to see their tires slashed. But the patrol car she had driven looked intact, as did Reed's Toyota.
Harper? What is it?
She turned, finding Danny coming to the door. She stepped aside, pointing down to the mat.
Oh, Jesus, not again.
Danny looked at her.
How did he find us?
I don't know. She closed the door on the doll, forgetting what she was going out for in the first place. Is Reed up yet?
I'm in here, he called from the kitchen. What's up?
A goddamn doll is sitting on your mat outside. Reed paused in mid-drink.
One of those dolls? You're kidding.
So not kidding. He put his cup down.
How could he find her here?
Harper shook her head. He didn't follow us. I made sure.
You think he followed me? Maybe he was watching the scene, followed me back.
How would he have known Danny was staying here at your apartment?
Mize knew.
He gave a quick, embarrassed laugh.
And I may have told a few of the guys.
But how would he have known?
Danny asked. Harper ran her fingers through her hair, above her ear, several times, trying to make sense of it.
How could he find her here?
Unless he was watching me, not Danny, she said, looking first at Danny, then Reed. He knows that I'm assigned to her, judging by the notes he's left. Maybe he was watching me, saw what car I was driving, put a tracking device on it.
Well, that would be pretty arrogant of the son of a bitch to walk up to the police station to place a tracking device.
I would say, yeah, he is arrogant, considering everything he's done.
She turned to Danny. Get your things. I don't trust it here. He knows where you are, what apartment you're in.
Where will we go?
Obviously, trying to hide from him is not working. We need a plan.
We're supposed to meet with Mize this morning, Reed reminded her. About last night.
Harper nodded. The rape victim. She looked over at Danny, who was watching her. Danny had questions in her eye. She knew last night that she'd been full of them, but she hadn't pressed. She imagined she wouldn't be spared them this morning. "You follow us in," she said to Reed. "Right on our trail. No cars get in between."
"You got it."
"I feel like a sitting duck," Danny admitted as Harper pulled out onto the street. It was just barely 7, but the morning traffic was already thick. "The direct route will take only about 15 minutes.
"Last night was twice that."
"At least. I took the long route, in case we were being followed." Danny looked around them in all directions, obviously looking for someone suspicious. Like a clown, following them. It was still dark outside, and headlights obscured her view.
"Maybe I've seen too many movies, but do you think someone in the department could have tipped him off?"
"Not likely. He followed you here to Dallas. I doubt he's got any contacts in the city, much less the police department." Harper glanced at her quickly. Had Danny guessed that Harper was thinking that very thing? That there was a leak somewhere?
Danny took a deep breath. "Tell me about last night."
Harper didn't pretend to not know what she meant by the request. She was gripping the steering wheel a little too tightly, and she made herself relax. "The guy who raped her. He was calling her Danielle during the assault." She glanced at her quickly. His face was, well, he was in clown makeup.
"Oh, God," Danny whispered. "Why? Why is he doing this? Why go after somebody else?"
"Maybe just to let us know that he can. He wanted to make sure that we knew it was him. Before he left, he untied her so she could get free. So she could call the police."
"So that I would know."
Harper was amazed at her astuteness.
"Yes."
Harper stopped at the red light, looking into her rearview mirror. Reed was right behind them. She looked over at Danny, seeing her fingering the gold necklace that she wore around her neck.
"He wants me to know that that's what he's going to do to me," Danny continued.
Harper should have said no, that it meant no such thing, but Danny was looking into her eyes, seeing the truth there. "I won't let anything happen to you." Danny reached over and squeezed her arm.
"I'm so happy I picked you."
Then she smiled.
"And I bet you are doubly excited to have been picked by me."
Harper laughed. "Glad you still have a sense of humor about it all." The smile left Danny's face.
"Seriously, Harper, what if I'd picked someone else?"
"They'd be doing the same thing I am."
"Would they?"
Harper drove on when the light turned green.
"Would they?"
She'd like to think that they would. But yeah, it was a bit unorthodox letting Danielle Stevens spend 24/7 with her. But after yesterday, there's no way she'd let Danny out of her sight. She glanced over and gave her a quick smile. "They would have probably fed you better than I have. We seem to have missed more meals than we've had."
"Did the victim connect being called Danielle to Ms. Stevens?"
Mize asked.
"I don't think so," Reed said.
Mize turned to her.
"How's Stevens holding up?"
Harper looked through the window in his office, seeing Danny at her desk. She was sitting with her legs crossed and appeared to be calm, but Harper saw the unconscious movement of her index finger as it tapped against her thigh nervously.
"She's okay. Concerned, obviously. She feels responsible for the rape yesterday."
Mize leaned back in his chair and folded his hands together.
"As she should," he said callously. "So we've got a stalker in clown makeup. He's been tracking Ms. Stevens, follows her to Dallas. We find the tracking device and try to lure him into a trap. Somehow he knows this, so instead, perhaps in retaliation, he picks a victim at random in her own apartment and rapes her, and leaves his calling card, a doll."
"And for good measure," Reed added, "he leaves a damn doll at my apartment."
"To let us know that he knows where she is."
Mize shook his head.
"So how's he still tracking her?"
"The bulk of her luggage we left here last night," Harper said. "The one bag she did take with us, they're checking it again now."
What about a purse, a wallet, or something?
Yes, that too. Harper thought, since he knows she's the one assigned to Ms. Stevens, that he may have put a tracking device on her car last night, while it was here.
Mize looked at her, and she nodded. They're checking it, too. She shrugged. It was just a thought.
And you're sure you weren't followed?
I'm sure. We got swallowed up in traffic. I ran red lights. No one followed us.
Maybe Reed is right, then. Maybe our guy was watching the scene and followed Reed. If he's watching everything, he knows that Reed is involved. Reed went to the hotel after the doll was found. Reed came to your place after your tires were slashed.
I think that's a long shot, she said. If he's tracking Danielle, then why would he hang out at the hotel after we left? For what purpose?
He didn't have to follow her,
Mize reminded her. He still had a tracking device on her luggage.
Still, why would he stay at the hotel?
Why does he wear clown makeup? Why does he do anything he does? I'm just suggesting that it's a possibility that he took a chance that Reed is involved in this case, and when he no longer had the tracking device, he followed Reed, hoping he would lead him to Ms. Stevens.
So he leaves a doll at the door, on the off chance that she's in his apartment?
He could have seen your car in my lot and assumed she was there, Reed said. Maybe he was watching us this morning when we left, just to verify that she was there.
To what end? She asked. He's bound to know we're not going to leave her alone now.
Reed shrugged. Maybe he's just fucking with us.
Then why rape that woman?
We can conjecture all we want, Lieutenant Mize said, interrupting them. The why of it doesn't matter. We need to find the guy. Reed, you and Hernandez work the rape like any other.
We talked to the neighbors last night. No witnesses. No one saw or heard anything.
What about security cameras in the parking lot?
Yeah, Hernandez was supposed to get them this morning. The feed is kept off sight.
Keep me posted on what you find.
He flicked his gaze to her. I've got a buddy at the FBI. I called in a favor.
She gave him a blank look. He wanted the FBI involved in this?
They've got a safe house we can use. I think, under the circumstances, it's best to keep her there.
She shook her head.
I don't like that plan.
He dismissed her comment.
You see, that's why I don't have to ask whether you like it or not. I'm the lieutenant. You're not.
But if we keep her hidden,
then he can't find her.
If he can't find her, then we have no chance to find him, she countered.
From what she told us, she only wanted to shadow you for 7 or 8 days. If we don't find him before she leaves town, well, then it's out of our hands.
She stared at him in disbelief.
So we're just going to cut her loose, knowing she's got this guy, now a rapist, after her?
What are we going to do, Harper? Force her to stay here until we catch the guy? You've got a serial rapist that you've been working for 6 months. You think Danielle Stevens is going to give us that kind of time?
But, sir,
if he leaves town with her, then we have no chance to solve the rape from yesterday,
Reed interjected.
I know that. So it looks like you've got a week to find the guy.
He pointed at Harper.
And you've got a week to babysit at an FBI safe house.
But, Lieutenant, it's not up for discussion, Detective.
He looked past them toward his closed door, then back at her.
I've got orders, too.
She shook her head, amazed by their decision. So they'd rather she leave town and take our rapist with her than chance having something happen to her here. They don't care if something happens to her on the way back home or in L.A.
It's not my call, Harper.
So why not tell her to leave now? Why give her the week? Reed asked.
Because they want to save face, Harper answered, knowing it was the truth.
We're trying to find the guy. We're at least keeping her safe. Not our fault that she has to leave. Not on our conscience if something happens to her outside of our jurisdiction, she said sarcastically. Shame that poor woman got raped and all, but I guess we're not going to solve that one.
Look, I know this seems like we're bailing on this, but we're not. What other choice do we have?
We do like I wanted to in the first place. Make her accessible to him. And what if he grabs her? Kills her, for God's sake. Then what? Are you going to stand up to the national media and explain how he used her as bait? He asked loudly. He doesn't want to kill her. At least, not yet. You don't know that, Harper.
He waved his hand in the air, signaling an end to the discussion.
It doesn't matter anyway. It's done. You're in the safe house. We'll have two units posted along the street. It's an older neighborhood, quiet, not much traffic. And what am I supposed to tell her? What is there to tell her? We're trying to keep her safe, that's all.
Chapter 17 Danny blinked stupidly at her.
A safe house?
Yes. She was a little surprised that Harper didn't seem thrilled by it.
But that's good, right? I'll be safe?
I'll stay with you, of course.
Ah, that's why she wasn't thrilled. She'd still be on babysitting duty.
I'm sorry, Harper.
Harper frowned.
Why are you sorry?
Danny waved a hand at her.
Well, obviously you have more important things to do than to babysit me.
Harper smiled and shook her head.
That's not it at all.
Then what is it?
At Harper's hesitation, she tilted her head questioningly.
What is it you're not telling me?
Harper glanced over her shoulder, toward Lieutenant Mize's office.
We'll go over it later, she said quietly. We'll go ahead and take all of your things this time. It looks like we'll be there for the duration.
Danny frowned slightly.
The duration of what?
Harper met her gaze for a second, then looked away quickly.
Of your stay. The duration of your stay.
I see.
And of course she did. That's what had Harper looking so miffed. Not the fact that she'd be babysitting, but the fact that they were keeping her safe. Until they weren't.
The duration of my stay, until I leave town.
Harper sighed.
Yes. Well, I don't know what I expected. I know you've already gone above and beyond the call of duty.
She folded her arms around herself in a false sense of security. You're involved in this by default only.
I'm sorry.
Harper closed her desk drawer a bit more forcefully than necessary.
Quit saying that. I'm a cop. It's my job.
She walked over and picked up two of Danny's bags.
Let's get out of here.
Danny grabbed the remaining two bags and followed her.
What about Detective Springer?
He's doing a second interview with a victim from yesterday.
Harper had no clue if this safe house was stocked with anything. If they were going to be there for several days, it wasn't like they could call room service for meals. She wasn't exactly thrilled with the idea of stopping at a grocery store for supplies. For one, she wasn't really a very good cook. Besides, taking Danny into a store would most likely cause some commotion. Ordering delivery wasn't an option either. She supposed she could get one of the patrol units to pick something up for them each day.
What's wrong? You're frowning.
She shook her head. Nothing. Thinking about food.
Huh?
As in, what are we going to eat?
She looked in her rearview mirror, then made a sharp, quick turn to the right before speeding up. No one appeared to be following.
Ah. In the movies, they always seem to have pizza boxes or Chinese food or something,
Danny said.
Can't allow a delivery to a safe house. I was thinking maybe we could have someone pick meals up for us. We'll have two patrol units assigned.
She could feel Danny studying her.
You're having second thoughts, aren't you?
About?
About sending me away when you had the chance.
Harper glanced at her and smiled.
Are you kidding? Being toyed with by a stalker is so much fun. Can't wait until we catch the bastard.
Only they don't really want to catch him, do they?
Harper sighed. Had she really thought Danny wouldn't see through this so-called plan of theirs?
The number one priority is keeping you safe.
You mean until I leave here?
I don't agree with their decision, Danny. They want to make sure nothing happens to you while you're on our watch.
They don't want any bad press.
Exactly.
But he raped somebody,
Danny said quietly.
Doesn't that change the game?
Springer and Hernandez are working it.
She turned at the light, heading into a residential neighborhood. Without DNA evidence, there's not much of a case. She shrugged. Clown makeup and white gloves. Not much to go on. Danny shifted in her seat.
Do you think, if I had stayed home, that he would have escalated it this far?
What are you asking? Do I think he would have raped you?
Danny nodded.
I don't know. Did his plans change once you got here? Did they change because we found his tracking device? There's no way to know, Danny.
If he can't find me now, do you think he'll leave? Maybe go back and wait for me at home?
Harper glanced at her GPS on her phone, then turned left.
Yeah, that's exactly what Lieutenant Mize and the others were hoping. Keep Daniel Stevens out of sight, hoping the guy gives up the chase. At least, in Dallas. And maybe it wasn't such a bad plan. In a city this size, if the stalker has no way of knowing where she was or when she'd be leaving, then sure, maybe he leaves. So when Danny headed back, he wouldn't be following her. No, he'd already be back in L.A., waiting for her.
Before you go to your house, you need to call the police there. Tell them he followed you to Dallas. Then you need to hire a bodyguard.
Danny let out a frustrated breath. I know. And won't that be fun?
Harper watched as the neighborhood changed. Older homes, large, mature trees, big lots, and very little traffic. She glanced again at her phone. She was 3 blocks away. As she turned down the street, a patrol unit was parked on the corner. She glanced at them as she passed, and the 2 officers gave a subtle nod at her, acknowledging her. She pulled into the driveway, then drove around the back where the garage was. Her car would be hidden from the street.
Home sweet home, she murmured.
When Danny would have opened the door, she stopped her with a light touch on her arm. Let me take a look inside first.
I'm not crazy about staying out here by myself.
I'll be quick. When she closed her door, she saw Danny reach across the seat and lock it. She couldn't blame her for being scared. She'd been fighting this stalker for months. She used the key Lieutenant Mize had given her and pushed the door open. The house had a stale, closed-up smell about it. It was dark and quiet inside, and she reached to the wall and flicked on the light in the kitchen. It was clean. In fact, nearly spotless. So was the living room, although it was sparsely furnished. There were 2 bedrooms. 3, really, but only 2 rooms had beds. The 3rd room was completely empty. She flipped on lights as she went, seeing nothing out of the ordinary. She went back outside, finding Danny's eyes glued to the door. She nodded at her, indicating she could get out of the car. She slung her backpack over her shoulder, the pack that she kept in her locker, and picked up 2 of Danny's bags. She let Danny precede her into the house.
Clean.
Surprisingly, yes. Danny paused in the hallway.
Which bedroom will we use?
There are 2. Pick which one you want.
Danny met her gaze. I want whichever one you're going to be in.
Ah. You want to share?
Yes, if you don't mind.
Then Danny smiled apologetically.
I'm sorry, but I'm...
No problem. I don't mind. She laughed quietly. Can't wait to tell Reed, of course. Danny went into the larger of the 2 rooms and placed her bags on the floor against the wall.
What would his reaction be if he found out I was gay?
Shock, disbelief, disappointment. Probably the same as every other guy. She paused. Why? You want to tell him?
God, no. It was hard enough telling you.
Harper shrugged. You are who you are, Danny. It shouldn't be hard to tell the truth. It seems like it would be easier than living a lie.
Says the woman who's never been in the closet.
Yeah, well, look at me. I don't think trying to be in the closet would help me.
Oh, please, you're not that gay.
Harper laughed. Trust me, I'm that gay.
You were young when you knew, right?
Yes.
Danny nodded. I think that makes a difference. I just assumed I was straight, you know? And when I wasn't, well, I wasn't prepared for it. Hiding seemed to be my only option. Hiding and pretending that I wasn't gay. Even to myself, I could hardly dare admit it.
Until college? Danny nodded.
You must think I'm crazy. I mean, in this day and age, still trying to hide it. What's the big deal, right?
Harper shrugged. It's your life. I'm not judging.
Danny took a deep breath. It's scary for me to think about being out, open with people. Terrifying, really.
Harper didn't have any advice for her. She didn't know the first thing about hiding or being in the closet. Not with family, not with friends, and not with co-workers.
Chapter 18.
I'm bored. Danny smiled, as that was the third time Harper had made that statement.
I'm starving, she countered.
Harper tossed her the remote. Yeah, let's get something. I bet we could get a pizza delivered to the patrol car at the end of the block. She paused. Of course, we just had pizza the other night.
I don't care. I'll eat anything.
The kitchen had proven to be void of any food items. The fridge did contain 4 water bottles, so that was a plus. There were 2 frozen burritos in the freezer, but both were 6 months expired. Even so, they'd debated whether to eat them or not. She flipped through the channels, absently listening to Harper on the phone. First to one of the cops, keeping an eye on their street, then to a pizza place. She turned, chancing a quick glance at Harper. Cute. Attractive. Gay. And even though Danny had confessed to her that she was also gay, Harper had not made even one inappropriate comment or innuendo. In fact, she'd been pretty much all business, all the time. Which, of course, Danny was thankful for. She was used to fighting off the attention of men. She had absolutely no experience in fending off unwanted attention from women. Of course, she was being presumptuous in thinking that Harper was that kind of woman anyway. She'd given no indication that she found Danny even slightly attractive, which was a bit disconcerting, she admitted. Here, she finally admitted to someone that she was gay, another lesbian, and that woman apparently could not care less. She sighed. She was thankful, really. She had no experience with this sort of thing anyway, and now certainly wasn't the time to be experimenting with it. Harper Jeremiah was attractive, yes. She admitted it was one reason she'd picked her to begin with. The eyes, of course. Those serious, trusting eyes. That's what drew her in the first place. But seeing the whole package, the face, the lips, and yes, the eyes, gave her no choice. She hadn't even bothered looking through the rest of the profiles that had been sent to her.
You're frowning.
Danny looked up.
Am I?
Harper smiled reassuringly at her. I won't let anything happen to you. I promise.
Danny smiled, too. No, I don't believe you will.
Her smile faded almost immediately. Of course, once she left Dallas, Harper wouldn't be around to protect her any longer. She'd be on her own. Well, she and the bodyguard she was going to be forced to hire.
So I got 2 pizzas and some hot wings, and a giant cookie.
Danny laughed.
Starving, huh?
Yeah. Pizza for breakfast is pretty good, too. Danny tossed the remote down, not interested in anything on TV.
FBI safe house. What do they eat?
I imagine when they use it, it's not on the spur of the moment. Harper sat down beside her. I guess we should have taken the time to go by a grocery store. Could have gotten some frozen dinners or something.
Or something. I'm a very good cook, in case you were wondering.
Oh, yeah? Danny nodded. When I was young, my grandmother lived with us. Both of my parents worked, so she tended to the evening meals. When I got home from school, that was my chore, to help with dinner. She touched the necklace at her neck, absently pulling the locket from under her shirt. Her grandmother had given it to her on the day she died. Her grandfather, a man Danny never knew, had used it in lieu of a ring. The black and white picture inside was faded and tattered. Her grandmother's wedding day. She didn't recall a time that her grandmother hadn't worn the necklace. When she'd taken it off that morning and given it to her, Danny had been confused. She'd had no idea that she'd been sick, had no idea that she was dying. She let the locket slip from her fingers, and she glanced over at Harper, who was watching her.
This was hers, she said.
holding her hand over the locket for a second before tucking it back inside her shirt.
I was 15 when she died. We were very close. I think if she'd been alive when, well, when I realized I was gay, which was that very next summer, I think I could have talked to her about it.
She touched the locket again.
She was my rock, my best friend, really. I often wonder how differently my life would have turned out if she had lived longer.
Meaning, you may not have escaped to California?
Escaped. Funny word, isn't it?
She leaned back.
I simply went from one prison to another.
She held her hand up.
And you don't have to say it. A prison of my own making, I know.
What's the real reason you're in the closet?
Danny frowned.
The real reason? You think there's some underlying issues that I have? I guess most people, especially when they're young, have a fear of rejection. You said your family was very conservative. Is that the main reason? Fear that they would reject who you are?
Danny pictured her parents, her father's stern face, her mother's disapproving stare. There were rarely any smiles.
Fear of disappointing them, she finally said. I wanted to be a cheerleader. I was pretty and popular, and my friends were all the cool kids, so I wanted to be a cheerleader.
They didn't want you to? No. My parents were older. My mother was 43 when I was born. My father almost 50. They were extremely protective. I wasn't allowed to date until I was 16.
She gave a quick smile.
Well, he said 17, but I eventually talked him down to 16. My mother, though, she thought that if I was a cheerleader, then I'd have to fight off the boys. She was terrified I was going to lose my virginity before my wedding night, terrified that I would get pregnant.
She paused.
They hated the way I looked.
They hated that you were attractive?
Danny nodded. They didn't quite know what to do with it.
So, you said you were a cheerleader, right?
Yes, and they were both very disappointed in my decision. They never came to any games. My grandmother was still alive, and she gave me the money I needed. After she died, well, I quit. My parents were then very happy.
But you were not.
No.
When college came around, since I was no longer dating the football player, and there was no marriage proposal on the horizon, they did pay for that. The university is in Knoxville, and thankfully, they allowed me to live in the dorm.
Harper smiled.
Where you finally gave in to your primal desires, she teased.
Danny laughed. Yes, and after that first year, I found the courage to stand up to my parents and leave.
She tried to hold on to her smile.
They were very disappointed in me. Again.
So you still have this chasm between you?
Yes. They won't admit it, but they read the tabloids. I'm sleeping around. I didn't save myself for marriage. I'm not a very good girl.
She waved her hand in the air. They believe it all. If there's this divide between you anyway, why don't you just tell them you're gay and get it over with? What do you have to lose?
Nothing. I have nothing to lose with them. My decision to stay in the closet has everything to do with my career at this point. Once I'm out of the movie business, does it matter? Is it anyone's business, my personal life? Should I feel compelled to make some big statement announcing that I'm gay?
Harper shrugged. It might be a relief to say it out loud, to admit it.
To not hide it anymore, you mean? From anyone?
I'm sure it would be freeing, emotionally at least.
Danny nodded. I'm sure it would be. I'm just not certain that I have the courage to say it out loud. And I know how pathetic that makes me seem.
Danny, it's your life. You are who you are. You can't pretend to be something you're not just to please other people, especially your parents. They have their own life. You have yours, she said matter-of-factly.
You make it sound so easy.
It is easy. Whatever you've conjured up in your mind as to what would happen if they knew, it's probably way worse than reality.
Danny smiled. You obviously don't know my parents. They're old, old school.
Harper stood up. From what you've told me, your parents aren't a part of your life anyway. What does it matter? It matters because they're all I have. Harper stared at her.
You don't have a relationship with them, Danny. How can you say they're all you have?
That statement hit home and almost brought tears to her eyes. No, she didn't have a relationship with them, nor with her sister. She didn't have any friends. She had no one. She had her people. That was all. There was simply no one.
I'm sorry, Harper said. I can't really relate to your situation, so I have no right to criticize it or offer you suggestions. I'm sorry.
Danny waved her apology away. It's okay. I'm used to being alone.
Harper sat down again.
But why, Danny? You're a beautiful woman. Why are you alone? Why are you content with that?
I'm not content. I'm lonely.
Danny tilted her head, turning the tables on Harper.
Why are you alone?
Harper clenched her jaw.
Totally unrelated subject. She stood up quickly. I'm going to check on our pizza.
Obviously, Harper had no intention of discussing her own personal life, despite the many questions she had for Danny. She watched her open the front door, pushing down the panic she felt at the prospect of being alone in the house. Harper stepped out, then turned, glancing over her shoulder.
Lock the door behind me. I'll be right back.
Danny hurried to the door, doing as instructed as soon as the door closed. She turned her back to the door and leaned against it. She'd hidden her sexuality for so many years, it was strange to be talking about it now, as she and Harper had been doing. And strange, too, that Harper was so guarded about her own personal life. Why was she alone? If she had to take a guess, she would assume it was something tragic. Harper's eyes told her that. She pushed off from the door, then literally jumped when her phone rang. She hadn't even given it much thought the last few days. There were only a handful of people who knew her number, and those in her inner circle knew not to call unless it was an emergency. She went to her bag and pulled out her phone, relieved to see that it was Shelley.
Hey, what's up?
She asked, as nonchalantly as she could.
I was just checking on you, Shelley said. Everything okay?
Fine, she lied. I've been given VIP treatment here.
Well, I would hope so. I wanted to let you know that Pamela lined up an interview with People for you when you get back. And they're still clamoring for you to do one of the late-night shows.
Danny blew out her breath.
Put People off. We'll schedule something later. But Danielle, Pamela said...
I don't care what she said. Don't schedule anything without clearing it with me first. She squeezed the bridge of her nose tightly.
We'll talk when I get back. This trip is kind of like a vacation, so let's hold off on anything until I get home, okay?
She heard Shelley sigh, but there was no protest.
Okay, as you wish. I'll pass it on to Pamela, but you know she dismisses most of what I say.
Then be firm with her. She's not the boss, Shelley. I am. She put the phone back in her bag, contemplating turning it off altogether. Despite her instructions that no one was to call her, she knew that Shelley would be the one to break. And of course, she was glad she did. Pamela tended to go a bit overboard whenever Danny wasn't there to rein her in. She picked up the phone again, then flipped it in her hand several times. Without much thought, she held the button in, watching as it powered off. It was something that she should have done days ago. This trip was like a vacation to her. Well, except for the creepy clown guy, and the police protection she was getting. That part wasn't so bad.
God, you really are pathetic, she murmured with a smile.
Chapter 19. Danny pulled the covers up to her neck, pausing to listen to the light rain that was falling. She felt Harper shift beside her. Their dinner had been eaten in relative silence, and even afterward, Harper had remained quiet, distant. Danny turned her head, seeing Harper's face in the shadows. They'd left the light on in the bathroom.
"Does this make you uncomfortable?"
she asked quietly. Sharing a bed? Harper turned toward her, too.
No, should it?
Danny should just keep her questions to herself. Harper was beyond reluctant to talk about herself. But when's the last time someone's shared your bed?
She heard Harper laugh lightly, but she sensed it was forced. You want to know when's the last time I had sex or what?
Danny rolled to her side. Okay, yes.
Why?
You're attractive. You're nice. Most of the time, she added. Yet you don't have anyone in your life. You appear to be single. Alone. She paused. Your eyes tell me you've been hurt.
Harper's sigh was so quiet, Danny almost missed it.
It's been 3 years, 4 months, and a handful of days.
What was her name? She whispered.
Harper turned her head to look at her. Jan.
Is it something you want to talk about?
Another sigh, and Danny assumed that was her answer. She was surprised when Harper spoke.
There was a serial killer and rapist in Tucson. That's where I came from, Harper said. They called him the Raggedy Ann Killer. He left a doll at each scene.
Oh, my God,
she whispered. There were 8 victims. I worked the case. We never got close to him. Jan was his last victim. At our house. In our bedroom.
Harper, I'm so sorry.
She moved her hand under the covers, finding Harper's. She squeezed her fingers tightly. The victims were all random, except for Jan. He picked her. Because of me. Harper turned her head. He left a note, said his thirst had been quenched for now. She was the last one. I guess he moved on.
Oh, Harper. I don't know what to say.
There's nothing to say.
Harper turned away again, staring at the ceiling. I couldn't stay there, so I transferred here about 5 months after it happened.
Do they know? Does Reed know?
No. I haven't told anyone.
Harper gave her fingers a final squeeze, then pulled her hand away, rolling over to her side, her back to Danny. Danny wasn't really shocked by her confession. She had sensed it, somehow, the heartbreak that Harper had suffered. It was the doll. Not so much the first one at the hotel, but the one left at Detective Springer's apartment. There had been a look in Harper's eyes that hinted at something buried deep inside, something that was being called to the surface. Not a Raggedy Ann doll, no, but still. Leaving dolls behind as a calling card. She imagined that conjured up all sorts of terrible memories for Harper. Danny rolled to her side, facing Harper's back. No, she didn't know what to say. It made more sense now, though. Harper was still grieving. She was an attractive single woman still grieving. She had no lover. And if Danny had to guess, she'd say that Harper had no friends either. She'd probably left Tucson and her friends and family with the intention of starting over. However, Harper couldn't leave her memories behind. Those followed her here. And 3 years, 4 months, and a handful of days later, those memories still haunted her. She let out a quiet, weary breath and closed her eyes. Very sorry that she'd brought her own troubles with her to Dallas. And to Harper. Chapter 20. The breaking of glass had Harper sitting up in bed, wide awake.
What was that?
Danny asked beside her.
Stay here.
Danny sat up.
Was that a window?
Sounded like it.
Harper pulled on her jeans, then watched as Danny got out of bed, picking up her jeans as well.
I'll check it out. You stay here.
The hell I will!
Harper grabbed her gun and her phone, then paused at the bedroom door listening. All was quiet. She turned to Danny. "Stay close to me."
"Like glue,"
Danny murmured.